With immigration at the top of the national conversation these days, we thought we'd take a few minutes to hear your immigration story. Specifically, is there something that you're now learning about your background that you weren't aware of before? Are you on Ancestry.com and finding long-lost relatives? Are there surprises in your family history? Anything crazy going on in your family history? Disappointments? Unanswered questions? We want to hear from you now. You can call us at 212-433-9692 or tweet us at WNYC Midday. Call in with your immigration stories, whether it's your own personal story or family members. How did you get here? I've had some surprises of late. I guess I'll get us started here. I grew up thinking I was 100% Ashkenazi Jewish from Eastern Europe, but I spit in a cup and sent it to Ancestry.com last year and found that, at least according to their DNA analysis, I'm just 43% Ashkenazi Jewish. Another 43% of my DNA indicates I'm from Great Britain, so England, Scotland, Ireland. Now, these tests are not entirely accurate, first of all. There's a range of error indicating that I may only be 3% British or Irish, but maybe there's a story to be told about my ancestry. I'm now in touch with cousins whom I've never met, people who have DNA close enough to mine, indicating that they're my relatives, and together we're trying to piece this all out and figure out who our common ancestors are and where they came from and maybe get a better understanding of where our roots are. So that might help me figure out where my family's from by just being in touch with strangers on the internet. We have callers coming in. Let's go to Ellen in Westchester. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Matt. Thank you very much for taking my call. And I was fascinated to hear your story just now because it mirrors mine very closely, including almost to the exact percentage, the results from the DNA test.
Are we cousins, Ellen? Are we related?
We probably are. I hope we are. a cousin, a different cousin of mine, actually got me started with Ancestry.com research. I'm not affiliated with that company or the Mormon Church in any way, but I got started doing the research with them a few months ago, and I have not been able to tear myself away from it, literally.
Yeah.
Every waking moment, I'm clicking on new hints and new relatives and discovering fantastic things, the most amazing one of which was the fact that my great-grandmother was a twin.
Wow.
Which I did not expect since there are no other twins in the family at all. But my grandmother's mother had a fraternal twin sister, and they and their parents and other siblings came over from Russia, as did probably your cousins, many
sure.
Russian Jews, in 1882 as the pogroms were heating up in Russia, and they fortunately escaped. And the route that they took was really interesting and surprising to me, which was that they somehow got themselves to Hamburg, Germany, and took a steamship to the east coast of England. This was apparently a very common route for people from the Balkan states and Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
They went first to the east coast of England to the port of Grimsby near Hull, uh-huh. and from there they traveled overland by train to Liverpool. And that was a very common thing to do in the 1880s, apparently. And then they boarded a bigger steamship from Liverpool to America. In my relative's case, they went through Philadelphia.
Were you able to piece this together through ship manifests that Ancestry.com was able to connect you to?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. I knew the name of my grandmother. That's it. And through her, I worked my way backwards to her parents. And they appeared in a ship's manifest, both in the Hamburg-Liverpool route and then the Liverpool-Philadelphia route. And so that was amazing to me. And I've seen, you know, microfilm pictures of the exact page of that ship's manifest written in, you know, ancient handwriting, which
yeah.
is just an astonishing discovery and has been so enriching. And through that, I've reached out to a cousin who has sent me pictures of these great-grandparents and even a great-great-grandparent, the actual parents of the emigrants themselves who came in 1882. And I'm planning a trip to Lithuania soon.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Ellen. Thanks for calling with your story. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having this segment, Matt.
Absolutely. Let's go to Jim in Summers, New York.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
I'm here.
Tell me your family's immigration story. Anything that you've learned of late?
Sure. You know, I have to say I was totally taken by surprise when I was going through some archives of the New York Times, and I discovered an article about my great-grandmother and great-grandfather. They had apparently, none of us knew this, secretly booked passage on a ship leaving Hamburg in 1880, and they arrived in New York City on September 5th, 1880, and they were married by the ship's captain on the day of the arrival. Wow. And I learned all this because it was reported in a small article in the New York Times on that day, talking about the joyous occasion of this young couple eloping to the United States and being married by the ship's captain.
Were you just searching your family name in the New York Times archive and came across this?
Yeah. I was just trying to see what was out there, and I came up with this New York Times story, and it was like, wow, and nobody knew it. I asked around the family, and they knew about my great-grandparents moving to South Dakota to take up a farm in the Homestead Act, but there was never any story about their origins and how they got to the United States, or whether they were even born in the old country. And I guess it was Wieden, Bavaria, about 20 miles from the Czech border.
So you must wonder whether or not they met on the ship, or
they had met in Germany, in neighboring villages. But apparently, as I started to dig into this, I found other news accounts. They eloped because his brother, my great grandfather's brother, disapproved of the relationship. And so they went to Hamburg under aliases, booked passage on a ship, and here we are today.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Let's go to Michael in Jersey City. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Matt. How you doing today, buddy?
Doing great. What's your story?
Oh, God. It's a little bit convoluted, but it's all based upon having some bits and pieces of information from family members on my mother's side and my father's side. So by going into Ancestry.com, also there's FamilySearch.org.
Oh, I didn't know about that site. Okay.
Yeah, so FamilySearch.org is run by the Church of Latter-day Saints. They have a massive database. So what I found is through census records, I found out a lot of bits and pieces about each side of the family. So on my father's side, I was able to get back to 1843 in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Where my father's side is from. And on one hand, we were able to trace back to the Basque region of Spain in terms of where names come from and such. And through that, through some of the census records, I also found out that my father had a brother that died as an infant, but was never spoken about.
Huh.
And when I found these records, it was kind of like, well, oh yeah, you know, we just didn't talk about it. And I was like, oh wow. On my mom's side, it's a mix of immigration from what I found to be Stalybridge, England, in 1880, and from Vodo de Corre in the northern, just south of Austria in the Alps of Italy in 1886.
That's amazing that you were able to go back not only 1840, but also to go back to so many different branches of your family tree. That's amazing, Michael. Thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate it. We are taking your immigration stories. I've recently found out that I am not 100% Ashkenazi Jewish. According to Ancestry.com, I'm 43%, and another 43% of my DNA indicates I'm from England, Scotland, and Ireland. So we're curious about your stories. Have you found out anything recently about your ancestry that's amazing or surprising? You can call us right now at 212-433-9692, and let's talk to Mitchell over in Brooklyn. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you? Tell us your story.
Good. Okay, well, my ancestry goes back to 2,300 years ago. Now, how does that happen? How do I know that? Well, my mother was born in Greece, and the people of the town where she was born were landed and arrived in that town 2,300 years ago, and have been in that town for that long. And the story goes that these, my family was in Judea during that time, and the Romans who were occupying Judea were putting Jews on boats and sending them to Rome to do the work. And my family happened to be one of those families on the boat, and the boat hit bad weather, and they stopped in Greece. The people on the boat got off the boat and walked into, went down into Greece, and in Yannina was the name of the town, was the city, and stayed in that town for 2,300 years. There is a Jewish temple on the Lower East Side on Broom and Allen Street, which is a temple, an active temple, and a museum that is of the people in origin of the people from that town.
That's...
And it's still there. So you can actually go and review and view the history of the people of Yannina.
That's incredible. That I think you win by going back the furthest we can possibly go back, 2,300 years. Is there a document that, or some sort of record to indicate that that's when they got there 2,300 years ago?
Well, I mean, I can't. We, my uncles who had gone back to the town, down to, back to the city. It's not a town anymore. It's a large. It's a small city or a large town, if you how you want to describe it. They don't have any records, but the Jews of that that town are, you know, basically well established, and it's well documented.
Oral history,
arrival was.
Right. Right. Amazing. Thank you so much, Mitchell. Appreciate you calling in. Let's talk to Deborah over in Newark. Hi, Deborah.
Oh, hello. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I'm a historian by training. I have a PhD in American religious history from Columbia University. And I was born in the mid-1950s. And I remember, and my family is from Texas on both sides. And my father's family is from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But I remember as a very little girl asking my father, as children do, Daddy, Daddy, how long have we been here? He said, oh, about 500 years. And I said, well, Daddy, how'd we do that? Oh, we came up the coast with the Spanish. Well, Daddy, I thought we were Scots-Irish because my name begins with MCC.
Uh-huh.
How'd we do that? Oh, we just did, Daddy said. And as I began to look into this, what he was talking about, my family were part of the hidden Jews, and they were upper-class people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They passed as Christians. My
wow.
father's generation was the first one to leave the area. But he was talking about the edict against the Jews, the edict of the Jews of 1492.
Uh-huh.
And from 1492 to 1510, all of the ships coming into the New World, and this was published only since the 1990s, 82% of the names of the human cargo on the ship's manifest were identifiably Jewish.
Wow.
And that's what my father was talking about, because when I could pin him down a little bit more, he said, well, we came in through the Caribbean, which would make sense how they got planted in the, you know, in Texas, and there they stayed, and they were the conversos, the cryptos,
from Spain,
the Marinos.
From Spain,
yes.
And Portugal originally. Wow.
That's right. That's right.
So the original settlers of what would become the United States, the original European settlers, many more were Jewish than we may have previously
and
known.
And you're not going to have the Beards and the Bancrofts of the 19th century, those and early 20th century, those prominent American historians, taking away the story of, you know, of 1607 in Jamestown and 1620 at Plymouth Rock. And because I remember the child saying, Daddy, that's, you know, 100 years before the Mayflower. What are
mm-hmm.
you talking about?
Wow.
So that's what he was talking about. And
incredible.
That's right.
Thank you so much for the history lesson and the story, Deborah. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Let's see if April in Somerville's there. April?
Yes, hi.
Hi there, April. Tell me your story.
Yeah, well, I've been an avid researcher in genealogy since I was about 16, and I was able to do a lot of my family tree. And I recently moved down to New Brunswick area to finish school. I'm doing a PhD program down here. We go to the Hungarian Festival quite often, and I always thought it was funny that our family, being Hungarian, had no connection to this New Brunswick Hungarian community.
Mm-hmm.
About 6 months after I went to the festival, I found out that I was actually descended from an illegal immigrant who came in through Ellis Island and then settled in New Brunswick. I was able to find the ship records that
wow.
she was detained in detention for 4 days. For not having paid her passage, and she had no money on her at all. She came in, her cousin, who I found out, I didn't know her last name was Ifu, which just means young in Hungarian, and I didn't know her mother's maiden name. So by looking through all these records, I found out her mother's maiden name was Parr, because a cousin worked down in New Brunswick at the, was an engineer on the train line, and he had to come up from New Brunswick to New York to pick her up and pay her passage.
Amazing.
She comes down to New Brunswick. She lives in New Brunswick. She meets a man down there, Frank Peretta. He gets married to her, and then about 5 years later, they're living in Alpha, New Jersey, and he pays for the whole rest of my family to come over.
Incredible. And has your family been in the New Brunswick area since that time?
Well, I've been able to find records of the Parr family, and they have lived around Middlesex. So I've been trying to track down living members of the Parr family in order to get in touch with them. But yeah, it's been really interesting. I see the name around, so I'm always going up, you know, and looking to see if I can find living members.
That's a very cool story. Thank you so much, April. Really appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. And let's talk to Brad in Parsippany. Hi, Brad. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks for calling in. What's your immigration story?
I'm really enjoying your show. My immigration story is I was doing some research on my grandmother's brother's World War II service, and I found some additional pieces of the puzzle. One of the things that I had a document which showed that this part of the family had come from Russia in 1910, but when I was researching my grandma's brother, like my great uncle's war service, it had pointed out that he was from a city that was right outside of Kiev, so today we would call that Ukraine rather than Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And another interesting thing about my family was that, so he, prior to World War II, he had served in the Loyalist Brigade in the Spanish Civil War fighting against fascism, but my father's side of the family had gone also to Spain, like kind of as refugees, and because of the circumstances of the time, they had to, like, he had to join the military to, in order to get food rations for the baby. So for a brief period of time, if you could believe it, I had family members on both sides during the Spanish Civil War.
Wow.
So it's an interesting thing.
And you were the first in your family to discover that. I mean, you didn't know that prior to your research.
Prior to my research, it's been like putting little teeny pieces together over time. Kind of sharing little tidbits with other family members.
That's fascinating. Thanks so much for calling and sharing your story with us. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much. A great show. I really do appreciate it today.
Excellent. Thanks. Let's talk to Tony over in Brooklyn. Hey, Tony, are you there?
I am there. Thanks so much for taking the call.
Absolutely. What's your story?
So just a few months ago, I found out like how my family got here. I'm 25. I was the first person born in the United States in my family. So just a few months ago, I found out that my aunt, who resettled here from Vietnam as a refugee in the 70s, she married who would end up being my uncle. Mm-hmm. He was a citizen and ended up sponsoring my entire family to come here. So if it weren't for my uncle sponsoring us, we wouldn't be here and I wouldn't have been born here. I only found this out a few months ago. He unfortunately passed away a year and a half, 2 years ago. I only found out that he was the one responsible for us being here after he passed away. So I felt like, kind of never got the chance to thank him, you know,
sure,
for giving us the opportunity.
How did you find it out? How did you find out that he was the reason why you were able to get here?
I should have found out earlier. I just asked my mom. I asked my parents, something that I probably should have asked earlier on, but I never got around to it.
Sure.
And then she just told me, yeah, you know, it was your uncle who sponsored my family and some of my cousins, too, to come here. And if not for that, I probably wouldn't be having this conversation with you right now.
Wow, amazing. Thank you so much, Tony. Thanks for calling in. And that's a good lesson for everybody. Ask your aging relatives about your family, about your ancestors to find out more information. You'll regret it if you don't. Let's go to Catherine over in Hoboken. Hey, Catherine.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing great.
This
thanks.
This is so much fun. I have an interesting story. I'm 13th generation America.
Whoa.
Samuel Stratton came from England way back in 16 something or 47 maybe.
Wow.
So I have actually, I was also able to go all the way back to 1088 maybe, Brian Staunton, because it went from Staunton to Stratton, was a knight who fought against William the Conqueror. And that's the furthest back I was able to get because, of course, you know, the Domesday Book or Doomsday Book came in when William the Conqueror took over. But the other interesting thing I'll say, if I have time, there's
sure.
two interesting things. And that is Samuel Stratton, who came over. Actually, that was during the days of the witch hunt up in Massachusetts. He settled in Watertown, which is now part of Cambridge. And there was a witch hunt, and him and his wife came out and spoke against it. They said, this woman is not a witch. Well, unfortunately, they hung the poor woman anyway, and then my ancestor and his wife were forced to pay a fine. So that's kind of
How were you able to find that out? How did you...
Well, I've been very, very lucky. There was a book of Strattons, actually two books of Strattons written by back in, I think, 1917, and they still exist. I mean, you can get them. I have them. And so that's how I knew a bunch of this stuff before Ancestry.com. And it was easy to go back to England because they had such good records, you know?
Sure.
So the other thing that I find interesting that I also learned is that my ancestors ended up having a mansion up there, and it's now the site of the mansion the president of Harvard lives in.
No kidding.
That's very interesting. And there's just one more thing, if
people
will put up with me. My great-great-grandfather was a quite well-known musician an exporter of musical instruments, composer, whatever, John F. Stratton. And he made a lot of money because in the middle of the 1800s, there was this whole push after Adolph Sax with the saxophone for brass instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Every regiment in the Civil War in the North was required to have their own marching band. So he actually created some brass instruments that actually went over the shoulder, like the bell, like the baritone, but it went over the shoulder so that the soldiers could hear the music.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which is really, really fascinating. He also created the first mute. It's called the Harmon Mute. And he created it so that people wouldn't bother, like if they were playing their brass instruments, they wouldn't bother people in the apartment under them or over them. But I did find something really fascinating, and this was not an ancestry. He was famous enough so I can find other things about him just by Googling. But supposedly when Miles Davis started using the mute as a instrument almost when he played his music,
right.
I read an article, and I think it was written just when Miles Davis started playing. And my great-great-grandfather died in 1910. But anyway, this reviewer said that John F. Stratton would turn over in his grave if he knew what Miles Davis was doing with his Harmon mute. So
amazing.
It is.
That is so cool that you know so many anecdotes and facts about your family history. Thank you very much, Catherine. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
For calling in. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And can we talk to Tony in Whitestone Beach? Hi, Tony. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hi.
Hi there. Tell me your story.
As I was telling your confidant there, I started doing my family tree some 60 years ago. I'm 76 now. It started on the day that my brother graduated from elementary school. We went to my grandfather's house, and the question was simply, hey, Papu, how did you, where are we from? What are we doing? How?
Mm-hmm.
And he starts, and he keeps on going, and he keeps on going. I took notes, page after page after page. I now have on Ancestry.com a family tree with over 1,300 names on it. He didn't give me all 1,300 names, but it went from there to there to there. His brother had a phenomenal memory, and he was in Greece, and I had to go to Greece, and I went there, and I went to Bucharest. I went to Constantinople to visit people who, they were just names. And they greeted you with open arms. Here's a little kid that was was 20 years old, whatever, going over there inquiring about a family tree and how we're related and where are we from and what have you. When you go to Ancestry and you do your DNA analysis, they give you a little history, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we all started in Africa. And then from there, you went up to Russia, came down the Caucasus, the Balkans, and finally settling in Greece, Albania, whatever. It's an amazing thing. And I'm so happy that you guys are doing this little segment
here.
Well,
I'm so glad you called.
You've got to get it across to your people. They have to ask their relatives where they're from.
Thank you so much, Tony. That is a great place to leave it. You're totally right.
From a fourth cousin. It turns out I was the ring bearer at her grandparents' wedding.
You didn't remember.
And, you know, people go crazy. You see this kind of thing. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
There's so much to learn out there.
Yes.
And I can only encourage you. You're doing a great job here.
Thanks so much.
You.
It's so important for us to understand where we come from. I really appreciate everybody calling in. Thank you, everyone, for calling in with your stories. That was wonderful.